Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the Holy Gospel from Mark chapter 9. Please be seated. I must admit from the outset that this is a text I would rather have avoided. It's an enigma to me. And these are words that I would put into my category of words I wish Jesus had never spoken. That's not because I have a problem with Jesus speaking them. The problem is not Jesus, nor even the evangelist, but me. My understanding is simply too limited. And yet here I am, preaching this text. I'm not sure what Mark is doing thematically, but it seems to have something to do with humility and service to others. Are we candidates for millstones? Are we guilty of demanding that everything in the church be done our way, with the result that we drive some people even further into unbelief? Perhaps you can understand why this causes me discomfort. It seems that Jesus is saying that we can allow anything to go on in the church. That's the part that makes me feel uncomfortable, because I have spent my whole time in the office of the ministry insisting that doctrine and practice must be pure. I feel like John. Nowhere do the Gospels tell us that sin was involved in this unknown exorcist's actions. Mark simply tells us that he was not part of the inner circle. The man was casting out demons in Jesus' name, but not in the disciples' names. John and the rest of the 12 seem to demand a further certification, but Jesus wouldn't let them do it. Sometimes people speak the truth even if they are unaware of it. In fact, on the last day, this very thing will be addressed, because Jesus said, "On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And then there's the matter of Caiaphas, who as high priest spoke pure gospel, prophesying that Jesus would die for the people. In some ways, this seems to be like Jesus' parable of the weeds in the wheat, where the servants want to go out and pull up the weeds. Yet the master cautions against such radical action, because the wheat will get pulled up along with the weeds. In some ways, it reminds me of the line from that new TV drama called Shark, where the high-powered defense attorney becomes the prosecutor. Someone asks him about justice, and he says, "Justice is God's problem." Maybe that's what we should understand here, too, about this unauthorized exorcist. That's God's business, not ours. Where sin is involved, however, the church must deal with it. How else do we understand this middle section of this text? Surely we can apply it to ourselves personally. But then there seem to be a lot of loose ends. Offending hands, feet, ears, and eyes seem to mean that heaven will be inhabited only by amputees and people without eyes and ears and other organs. Hell, however, seems to be populated by people who still have all their limbs, their eyes, and their ears. Now, of course, we say that we must understand this as hyperbole. But surely it seems extreme, doesn't it? Is Jesus just trying to scare us? That's the conclusion of some. They say that Jesus is trying to threaten us with hellfire to make us behave. It's like the bulletin board I saw this summer driving along the interstate down in Alabama. Repent or the devil will get you. Chrysostom says that this refers to the body of Christ, the church, and that the amputation is really excommunication. Leave a gangrenous hand on the body, and soon the whole body becomes infected. We understand cutting out the cancer from a patient. Get rid of the cancer, or it will spread and eventually overwhelm the whole body. Those guilty of repeated offenses against the weak must be dealt with lest they infect the whole body and cause the little ones to stumble and fall. Jesus does not say that the church should tolerate false doctrine or unholy practice. The real danger does not seem to be from outside of the church, but from inside her. Who are those who cause offense? Not the unbelievers, but the believers. In particular, pastors should be concerned that they do not cause any of their flock to be lost because of something they have said or done. Does not James warn us? Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And so we must ask ourselves, do we insist on having our own way when matters are adiaphora? Some of the most unkind words I have heard spoken lately have been spoken by brothers who have insisted that their way is the only right way, like whether one uses the historic lectionary or the three-year lectionary, or whether one uses TLH or LSB. More wrangling seems to go on in the church over adiaphora than over doctrine. We like to dominate, but Jesus says here that greatness in the kingdom is not measured by dominance, but by humble service. Are we candidates for millstones? Am I trying to control everything that happens? Perhaps Jesus answered the disciples in this way about the unknown exorcist, to let them know that God does not need us to do it His way. He is quite capable of exorcising demons or speaking the truth by using others, even unbelievers, if necessary. In the last analysis, the judgment must be left to God as to what to do with unauthorized exorcists and preachers. Rather, humble service should characterize our work within the church. Giving the cup of water to a thirsting little one is what we are called to do. Fulfilling our vocations, as Luther so nicely spells it out in the Table of Duties, can never be put on hold without serious consequences. Serving as Christ serves us, humbly and without thought of dominating, is how it should be. Of course, hearing all of this should arouse our consciences. The law should do that. It should terrify us and drive us to confession. That's the Christian thing, says Luther in the Large Catechism. Therefore, when I urge you to go to confession, I am simply urging you to be a Christian. And having gone to confession, you are now prepared to receive Christ as he serves us with his body and blood. Listen then to the last words of Jesus in this text, in this section of Mark's gospel, and be at peace with one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.